I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the idea of Christianity becoming a hate crime in the West. Christianity and the gospel. Will preaching the gospel become a hate crime in America and in Western civilization? Well, if the progress of things over in the UK and in places like Canada is any indication, things certainly seem to be moving in that direction. And we've been hearing these stories for years. I mean, primarily, the conflict has been, up to now, it seems like it's been, anyway, with the issue of homosexuality, the whole LGBT movement, and how the whole concept of gay rights and this kind of thing overrides religious freedom where Christianity is concerned. In fact, I was listening to a couple of Christian talk show hosts on the internet the other day, and they were talking about this whole LGBT gay marriage, the invented rights that they've come up with now on gay marriage, and how up in Canada, it is apparently, it's the direction they're moving in is that if you have a Christian school or university that has a law school, they will not be able to graduate students with an accredited law degree unless they are willing to agree with gay rights and gay marriage and all the rest of it. And so they are moving in the direction to where if you don't submit to homosexual totalitarianism, basically, in the law, if you're not willing to agree to it for whatever reason, then they're not going to be willing to allow you to practice law. That's the direction they're moving in. Now, it's incredible. That's how things are developing in Canada, and things could certainly move that way here in the United States. We've seen what's happened with the whole gay wedding cake controversy where Sweet Cakes by Melissa, the bakery, now has lost their appeal, and their First Amendment rights, their 13th Amendment rights were violated in this whole thing. But the activist judges and courts and so on are just throwing it all out the window and saying it doesn't matter really what the Constitution says. They are overriding all of that with this activist ideology. And right alongside of that is Islam. And part of what made me want to talk about this today is an article from Front Page Magazine where the headline, "Why Professing Christ is Becoming a Hate Crime in the West." Professing Christ is becoming a hate crime in the West. And then the subtitle, "A Grim Foreshadowing of the Future from the UK." It's important that we remember, brethren, the Inquisition outlawed the preaching of the gospel, outlawed the reading of the Bible, outlawed the Ten Commandments. Teaching the Ten Commandments to your kids. You go read the history books. Parents were put to death for teaching the Ten Commandments to their children. That was going on in Western Europe under the Holy Roman Empire. Then in Eastern Europe with the Ottoman Empire, there's no question you could not preach the gospel to the Muslim world. If you were out on the street and you tried to preach the gospel to Muslims, they would either beat you or kill you, but they would not allow you to preach the gospel to them. I remember watching an interview with a Greek Orthodox priest, and he said that once the Ottoman Empire was established after the fall of Constantinople, he said evangelism became virtually impossible. You couldn't go out and evangelize these people. They wouldn't listen to even 1 minute of anything you had to say. So, and of course, then they pronounce a death penalty in Islam if you convert from Islam to Christianity or any other belief system for that matter, then they pronounce the death penalty on you for apostasy. This is why having Islam come into the West is significant, and it is very, very dangerous to allow political Islam to gain any kind of ground or advancement. And it's why here in the United States, as we're seeing stories about Sharia law beginning to take hold in different parts of the country and this kind of thing, and then having different voices in the media and in law schools and so on, saying that this is not necessarily going to be a bad thing. They're trying to soften the idea and ease it into our system. We should be very, very concerned about that, brethren, and we should resist it to the uttermost. So let's talk about this article here on Front Page Mag, because there's some very interesting elements to it. It begins by saying, what is the source of dimitude, which in many ways paralyzes responses to Islam in the West? First, a definition, dimitude, and that's D-H-I-M-M-I-T-U-D-E, dimitude. Dimitude was first coined by the late Christian president of Lebanon, Bashir Gemayel, and popularized by writer Bat Yor, is a neologism based on the Arabic word dhimmi, that is, a non-Muslim, generally a Christian or Jew, who falls under Islamic rule and, as a price for maintaining their religion, accepts an inferior social standing. Simply put, the dhimmi must know his or her place and never rock the boat, including by seeking equal rights with Muslims. And this is called dhimmitude. Now, what's interesting, that the phrase was first coined by the late president, Christian president of Lebanon, Bashir Gemayel. Now, we've talked about the testimony of Brigitte Gabriel before, and of course, many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Brigitte Gabriel. She is the president of the organization Act for America, and she often appears on Fox News and in, you know, conservative publications and this kind of thing, giving her testimony. And she, of course, grew up initially in Lebanon. She's from Lebanon. She's a Lebanese Christian. Lebanon used to be a haven for Christianity in the Middle East. It was a Christian country with a Christian constitution and Christian leadership and so on. But what happened was you had the Marxists, the socialists there, who were promoting multiculturalism and inclusivism and all this other kind of stuff. And of course, what did that mean? That meant bringing hundreds of thousands and millions of Muslims into their country. And of course, they had a much smaller country than we do. And so it didn't take long to build up the Muslim population there. Once the Muslims reached a certain size, they started a civil war and turned the country upside down in the Lebanese Civil War. Now, the former Christian president, Bashir Gemayel, who was assassinated, by the way, and interestingly, you know, when I was reading about his assassination, I at first assumed that he would have been assassinated by a Muslim. But in fact, he was not. He was assassinated by a Maronite Catholic. And the president himself had been a Catholic. He was actually a Jesuit-educated Catholic. You know, I'm still trying to break down the history here, but what went on in Lebanon is very, very strange. Very, very strange. Because you had very traditional Catholics through Gemayel, and then you had these socialist Catholics. And the guy who committed the assassination was part of the Syrian Social Nationalist Party. And if you go look up the Syrian Social Nationalist Party, they have a symbol that looks very much like a spinoff of the swastika. And there were some who said after the assassination of this president happened, because people had a lot of hope for him and the restoration of the authority of Christianity there in Lebanon. And once he was killed, they said to this assassin, who was a Maronite Catholic, they said, you haven't just killed a man, you've killed a nation. And it's interesting, from then till now, the interest of, or really the strength of Christianity in Lebanon has declined. The Christians have been in decline and the Muslims have been advancing. It is reported that the Muslims are controlling about 60% of the country. That's what's being reported, brethren. Now, I will be the first to admit the situation over there is complex. But as I'm reading some of this history about this, it reminds me of what Dr. Peter Hammond said about what went on in Rhodesia, where he said, "We were never beaten by our enemies, we were betrayed by our friends." And it appears that that component was also present there in Lebanon. I mean, that component is present all over Western Europe right now. That component is present right here in the United States. You think about it, the concerns that we have over the advance of Islam or the advance of Sharia law or any of this kind of stuff, none of that would be possible if it were not for American politicians and lawyers and judges and so on, many of whom profess some form of Christianity. If it were not for their support of these groups, it would be virtually impossible for them to gain any headway in this country. All right, so going back to this article, this word, now according to the article here on Front Page Mag, is according to Raymond Ibrahim. He says that the word dimitude, was first coined by the Christian president of Lebanon before he was assassinated, probably because of the oppressive nature of Islam there in Lebanon and the fact that he's coming through this civil war where Christianity is really being undermined. And from what I've been able to gather on this, and I don't pretend to be an expert on it, but from the testimony of Brigitte Gabriel and other articles that I've read, it seems like it was a combination of socialism and Islam that undermined the place of Christianity in Lebanon, which I think is, I mean, that just seems to be the formula that the globalists are using right now to undermine the Christian world. Christian civilization is being undermined by and large by that formula. And the socialists, they act as the front men to open the door. They come in with all the doctrines about toleration and this kind of thing. And with the accusations, if you don't accept their version of toleration, then you are a bigot or a racist or something. And they work to get these alternative groups in the door. But we can see from countries like what's going on in Western Europe, and I think Lebanon is one example. There are a number of other examples through the 20th century, but particularly where this formula with Islam is concerned, it's an example of what happens when a Christian culture buys into all of these ideas and they allow the globalists to get away with it because it completely turned their country upside down. And that's what many people are concerned about the rest of the Western world. So now back to this article, the theme of the article, the headline, "Why Professing Christ is Becoming a Hate Crime in the West." That, as I've said before, is the great danger of both Islamic Sharia and all the forms of Marxism and communism and socialism, because they are both enemies of the gospel of Christ, and they will make it either very difficult to preach the gospel or virtually or nearly impossible, because you'll be arrested, you'll be persecuted, you'll be killed, you'll go to jail, etc. They are making war on the preaching of the Word of God. That's collectively what they're doing. And it's why I believe there is some responsibility. We've all got to seek it out prayerfully as to what the Lord would have us to do. But some responsibility for us at a practical level to do what we can, as much as the Lord allows, to suppress these things so that the free preaching of the gospel may continue. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more right after this.
Assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark. Unfold. fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors, but now Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we are talking about Christianity and Western civilization. Will the preaching of the gospel eventually be outlawed? Will it be suppressed? Already, there is a certain amount of resistance to Christianity, but I don't think we can really say that preaching the gospel has been suppressed here in the United States. We are still well able, thank the Lord, to preach the gospel in this great country of ours. So we need to be thankful for that, seek that opportunity to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The Apostle Peter declared to the ancient Jewish leaders, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12 makes it very clear, and many other places besides throughout the New Testament make it very, very clear, the only way of salvation is through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the way of salvation. And the scripture warns, Paul says when he's writing to the Thessalonians, that when the Lord returns, he comes in flaming fire with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Those who do not obey the gospel, the message of salvation. And the scripture warns that they will be destroyed with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. So the gospel and the exclusivity of the gospel, the unique nature of it, the fact that Jesus is the way, and it's not Muhammad, it's not Buddha, it's not some other path, as many of these New Age adherents teach. In fact, politically right now, you have a lot of people who are talking about possibly having Oprah Winfrey run for president here in the future. Could she be a Democratic candidate? And thankfully, there are many people out there who are pointing out that Oprah Winfrey, even though she was raised up in the Christian community, she was raised up going to a Baptist church by her own admission, but she says, and you can go online and listen to her interview, that when she heard a pastor quote scripture and say that God is a jealous God, that she was troubled by that. She seems to have been offended by it, and that that really caused her to seek out other avenues and led her to, I think, the New Age understanding that she has today. But she's openly admitted on her show that she does not believe there's one way of salvation. She believes in the message of many paths to finding God. And that is, in fact, a violation of God's commands. That's why when Paul, when he's standing on Mars Hill, he's talking to the Athenians, and there they had all the different idols to the different gods. He told them that they were superstitious, and he told them they had a misunderstanding about God. And he said, now the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands that all men everywhere repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. So God commands that all men everywhere repent and believe the gospel. That's the message of salvation, brethren. And we've got to keep preaching that message, especially to the Muslim world. There are many Muslims who are turning away from Islam, and they are coming to the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly hope that's going to continue. We hope that many of the Muslim immigrants that are coming into this country will hear the preaching of the gospel and that they'll be brought to salvation. Now, we don't agree with those who would just completely turn their backs on any Muslim in this country. We don't believe in helping them build mosques and that kind of thing. I don't think Christians should be involved in that, because you're basically giving approval to apostate teachings. Not even apostate, really, just flat out antichrist teachings, because they completely deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They deny the gospel. So we cannot lay hands of approval on that. We cannot help any advance of Islam as a belief system, but we can certainly reach out to Muslims at an individual level and hopefully lead them to the truth. But what's happening now in the West, and this, I think, is the whole point that Front Page Mag is making, over in the UK, contending for the faith between Christians and Muslims, the courts over there are siding with the Muslims, and the Christians are being accused of bigotry and hate speech and all this other kind of stuff. So here, let's look at the examples. So the article says, quote, the Western elements that are forever protecting and empowering Islam and which operate under various names, liberals, leftists, Marxists, etc., ultimately care little about Islam. Rather, Islam is for them a tool to combat their real and much closer enemy, Christianity. Now, this is something that I've talked about on this program before, that what the radical left is doing, what the Marxists are doing collectively, is they are reaching into their toolbox and they grab as many weapons against Christianity as they can find. Islam is one such weapon. Homosexuality is another weapon. Transgenderism, atheism, all of these are weapons that are specifically aimed against the Christian faith in our country. And it's one, because they hate Christianity, there's no doubt about that. But two, for political purposes, they know that the foundation of our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence and so on is really all based upon ideas that came out of the Protestant Reformation. In other words, they come out of a Christian origin, and that's why they're attacking Christianity and our traditions and everything else, because they want to overturn the system. Now, another point made here in this article is the fact that the preaching of the gospel itself, the Front Page Mag article makes reference to Lord Pearson of Rannoch over in the UK. And Lord Pearson is called a UKIP peer, meaning that he was a part of the political party UKIP. He is currently a member of the House of Lords. It says he's a British businessman, former leader of the UK Independence Party. That's Nigel Farage's party, the Brexit party. And he is currently a member of the House of Lords. So here you have an article from the Catholic Herald, which says, quote, British government refuses to say whether proclaiming divinity of Christ is a hate crime. Think about that. Quote, Lord Pearson says the government refused to answer when he asked whether stating religious belief could be hate. The British government refused to say whether telling people about the Christian faith could be a hate crime. Lord Pearson of Rannoch, a UKIP peer, says when he raised a question on the issue on the House of Lords, the government failed to state clearly whether Christians cannot be prosecuted just for stating their beliefs. Quote, I said to the government, will they confirm unequivocally that a Christian who says that Jesus is the only Son of the one true God cannot be arrested for hate crime or any other offense, however much it may offend a Muslim or anyone of any other religion? In response to the question, Government Whip Baroness Very of Norbiton said, quote, My lords, I am not going to comment on that last question from the noble lord. She added that the legal definition of a hate crime has been the same for the past 10 years. All right, so this was a story that that came out, well, just a short time ago, back in December of 2017. So, but think about that, brethren. Think about that. That the increasingly socialist government of the UK is moving in a direction where, I mean, right now, you've already got stories about preachers being arrested for speaking out against Islam, preachers being arrested if they speak against homosexuality, etc. Now, are things going to reach a point eventually where if you simply communicate the gospel itself clearly, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by him, will that be called a hate crime? That remains to be seen, brethren, but it appears that the Western world, tragically, is moving in that direction. So, as the Lord says, when we see these things begin to come to pass, we've got to lift our eyes to heaven and know that our redemption draweth nigh. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.